what is virtualization?
You're gonna learn today.
Innovate like a startup, deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's gonna be a great day.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Oh yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Aero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the very first episode of the Virtually Speaking Podcast. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Aero, and joining me as always is your friend and mine, Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. I love that intro. Like, for the past couple of weeks, it's been my jam in the morning to get me pumped up, and I actually just ran into the room. I'm kind of winded in my basketball shorts, so...
Oh boy, I have this whole visual in my head of you coming into like a gymnasium during the pep rally. You know, you're all pumped up for the big game.
Yeah, there's some shadow boxing going on, so it's pretty awesome.
I like it. Well, yeah, this is our very first episode of the Virtually Speaking Podcast, and technically it's our second because and that episode will never see the light of day. But we did record this once already, but John sounded like he was completely underwater for the entire episode. So a little bit of an upgrade on hardware, and here we are.
Yeah, no, it's good not to sound like Aquaman, lamest of all superheroes. So we're starting with controversial topics, I see now. So
I like it. Well, yeah, so like I said, this is the Virtually Speaking Podcast, and we decided, John and I, both VMware employees, that we wanted to do a podcast about storage and availability. So, John, my question to you is, why are we doing this?
I mean, there's some brilliant people working here, and it's the conversations you have in the hallways and you have, you know, on conference calls with people. There's just some great information, and not enough of it sees the light of day. So really want to have those conversations, talk about the exciting things going on here with our partners in the industry, as well as kind of get some of those brilliant minds, get them on here and have those conversations in a much more public light.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for me, I actually, I used to work at NetApp, for those of you that may have remembered, when I actually hosted the Tech on Tap podcast. Yeah, similar position at NetApp where I was a technical marketing guy who focused on virtualization, specifically VMware. But doing the podcast was really a great opportunity for me because I had access to all of the big brains at NetApp. Also, the partners, we always had VMware guys on, Microsoft, Cisco. And just a really cool opportunity to tap into the wisdom that's actually in the community. So great opportunity, and I'm super excited to actually do it again.
Let's do this.
Awesome. Well, before we dive into that, John, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and where you were before VMware and now what you're doing at VMware?
So my name is John Nicholson. My background prior to VMware, I worked managing and acting in professional service consulting around virtualization solutions. I did a lot of storage work, and then I got into VDI because the VDI guys kept breaking the storage. And across all of that, the storage and everything generally ended up rolling up to feeding VMware. So just kind of across virtualization infrastructure focus. I would say my position at VMware that I've taken recently, as of I guess 4 months ago, is as a technical marketing manager in the storage and availability business unit. I'm focused on core vSAN, so working on white papers, use cases, guides, blogs, speaking at conferences and so forth, helping get that information out, not just at a technical level, but also kind of put some context, the why, I guess, around what that information is.
Very cool. Well, this is a pretty exciting week for you, right, with the launch?
Yeah, the launch of 6.2 is amazing. This is our fourth major release for vSAN. So from just a short time span of a little over 2 years, we've got four releases out, which is a bit more than typical for software launches within VMware. And from a feature standpoint, we're bringing some awesome stuff: deduplication, compression, erasure coding. We're really taking flash, all flash vSAN to the next level.
Very cool. Yeah, so we're gonna dive into that on future episodes. I can't wait. We'll probably split up just the launch into like five or six different episodes to really consume the entire, you know, what's new section of 6.2.
Yeah, there's some really, as I guess Chad would say, face melting amazing stuff going on with the EUC side, Horizon 7, vRow. I mean, there's a lot going on. So you're right. It's definitely gonna be a multi-parter.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, me, for those of you that may remember, I worked at NetApp. I was a technical marketing engineer there. And my focus there was to, similar to what John was talking about at VMware, my goal was to write the best practices guides, to speak to customers at events, at executive briefings, and then also to speak on the podcast. So similar role here at VMware. I've been here for about 2 months, working right alongside John, but my focus is on virtual volumes, as well as VAIO, some of the IO filters. So cool stuff, and we'll definitely be talking more about that as well.
I say every time you say VVols, you should play Lun Suck right after that, like that clip from Ken. It's just anytime I hear VVols, I'm like, oh, it's like Luns. They're actually friendly and no longer, you know, making me hate myself to deal with them. So,
oh, do you mean this clip right here?
Luns suck.
Yeah, that would be it. I mean, that's yeah. Why we're definitely going to need some deep dives into VVols. Although, I mean, to be honest, they also, you know, as much as Luns do suck and VVols makes them suck infinitely less, VVols is also obviously has some great benefits for NFS and other things. So
exactly. But now every time I say VVols, I'm going to be thinking I have to say
Luns suck.
It's just we need like a system that detects, you know, just follows you around the office.
Anytime like Slack does. Yeah,
it'll awesome. Be like the Slack. Yeah, have a Slack bot that says Luns suck.
Yeah, exactly. I stole that clip from a VMworld session done by none other than our boss, Ken Werneberg. He did a session on VVols, and he opened his session with
Luns suck.
Well, as John mentioned, part of his job in technical marketing is blogging. And you can find John's blog posts in two places. First is on VirtualBlocks. That's blogs.vmware.com/virtualblocks. But he also has his own personal blog called The Nicholson. John, I love the name. You care to elaborate?
Yeah, The Nicholson, Virtual Ramblings. And yes, I am pretentious enough that that's the title of my blog, or rather the domain. But there's a lot of just odds and ends of little technical bits of information. A lot of it around storage, a lot of it obviously around vSAN, but also just in general across infrastructure, where it doesn't necessarily fit any one type of thing. And that's just where some random epiphanies, I guess I'll drop. One recent post I did is talking about software-defined storage. And one of the key advantages is with a traditional array, if you need to build an air-gapped separate storage island, or you know, maybe you need to physically take some storage and move it somewhere else,
Yep. You
can't take a two-controller array and say, I want to chop this into three pieces. In fact, I've got a picture, I think, of a Xerox machine someone's cut in half to illustrate the point. As opposed to software-defined storage, things like vSAN, hyper-converged infrastructure, you can say, okay, well, these three nodes will go over there, those four nodes will go there. And that way, when the auditor says this must be air gapped, or you know, the ERP team demands a separate island for QA testing for compliance separation reasons,
Yep. You
can deliver that without having to go through a whole another procurement cycle and setup and configuration of getting another giant beast of storage in, or get a small baby one in for that purpose.
That makes sense to me. No, the blog I read recently from you is The Road to All Flash VMware Virtual SAN. Yeah, coming from NetApp, a storage vendor, that certainly piqued my interest. You know, always interested in the conversations around, flash compared to spinning disk, whether it's 15K, 10K, or whatever. You know, when exactly is that balance of performance versus cost going to ultimately make spinning disk obsolete? So great article. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, so there were a lot of people who predicted last year at the beginning that last year would be the last year of 15,000 RPM drives for performance reasons being deployed. And some people thought that was controversial. Some of us said, oh, yeah, that makes about sense. And to a certain degree, that's happened. Basically, flash has replaced 15,000 RPM drives in the data center, in storage arrays. Every major vendor will agree with this. From a performance standpoint, flash has done that. Now, 10,000 RPM drives kind of have existed as kind of a middle ground between good enough performance with some capacity in terms of like your 10,000, 1.2 terabyte kind of being a good middle ground against flash. But the price of flash has fallen massively. And I outline in there, when vSAN first came out in 2014, I was tracking the price of flash. An enterprise grade flash device that I would use, the raw component cost going to buy it from Newegg was about $2.50. That's now to the point where it's under a dollar for a hybrid cache tier, and for a capacity grade flash, we're as low as 65 cents. So with flash in that short amount of time falling that rapidly, the 10,000 RPM drives, which are about 35 cents a gigabyte, were about 2-to-1 away. So with a little bit of deduper compression, 10,000 from a cost for capacity doesn't even make sense, let alone a performance. So this is the year of the death of the 10,000 RPM drive. The only thing we'll see magnetic used for is the large capacity, low latency tape drives, as I like to call them.
So you're saying the 15K drives are basically priced out of the market and the 7200s now are the cheap and deep?
No, the 15K just don't have a point, I guess is my point. You can buy flash for honestly comparable, and any array that's, you know, these days or any platform, VCN just add out with 6.2 that has some type of data reduction. If you can get a dedupe and compression, if you can get away with even as little as 2-to-1 data reduction, that 15K drive, which struggles with doing inline or, you know, continuous real-time 15K, there's more CPU and things overhead. Right. It's just not worth it.
So what's your prediction? How long before every data center is purely flash?
I don't think every data center is going to be purely flash. So I think you'll see magnetic continue on, particularly for object. Flash will definitely be used for all transactional workloads, anything you care about latency on the slightest bit. Right. And then there's the other thing you and I previously talked about, like Facebook asking for, give us your cheap, bad flash that's just really low quality, you know, write once, read never grade flash.
Yep.
There are cases even for flash creeping into archives. So, but I think that's going to be a much longer battle. That'll be 2018 or 2020. That said, magnetic storage has got some hard roadmaps and even some laws of physics to fight.
I just find it hilarious that Facebook was the one that actually, you know, came up with that use case that said, yeah, we need something that's write once, read never, because...
Yeah, the power was a big thing for them. You make a great point with the Facebook, because with flash, they can go cold on the power and only power up those dies when they need it, as opposed to magnetic, you have to keep spinning it.
Yep.
So...
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, this is our first week. We don't have a guest this week because we just wanted to introduce you to who we are. Next week, we're going to bring in Rawlinson Rivera, who's going to talk a little bit about virtual volumes. Definitely looking forward to that. This is a storage and availability focused podcast. And so the type of topics that you will be hearing us talk about are things like SRM or Metro Stretch Cluster, or things like, I almost said Metro Cluster because I just came from NetApp.
You know, it's funny is that... I mean, so many people who do stretch clustering, it's NetApp that for the longest time, I actually thought Metro Cluster was what you just called it, period.
It's vSphere Metro Storage Cluster. So mixing that with Metro Cluster was always fun as a TMA.
vSphere Metro VMSC.
Yeah, interesting. But yeah, we'll definitely be talking about that. We'll definitely be talking about Virtual SAN. I'm really excited about hearing about all the new things that came out with the launch. And so I'll be picking your brain for probably the next couple of months. Fair warning.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
So, John, what else you got going on?
I've got a V-Beers next week on Thursday here in Houston, Texas.
V-Beers? What is that?
So V-Beers is a local group where, by the name, you can tell it's kind of a happy hour. But the idea is to talk about virtualization and infrastructure, get a group together. It's not like your traditional IT happy hours that are often kind of co-opted by recruiter or vendor dog and pony shows.
Oh yeah.
There will be no PowerPoint as a general rule.
Good.
I'm keeping it, you know, in the downtown area. We're rotating through some of my favorite dives and haunts. So it should be kind of fun.
This is all in Houston, right?
Yeah, this is our second one. So we're going to take advantage of the kind of 2 to 3 week window we have right now where the weather's pleasant and the mosquitoes haven't descended upon the city to eat us all. So We're actually going to be brave and go somewhere outside.
I like it. Man, I need to find my way to Houston for one of these V-Beers.
Yeah, we're going to a place called Moon Tower, and they make their own sausages. They've got their own brew pub operation, but it's really good food, too. So,
well, I will be at the... I don't have a V-Beers here in Raleigh that I'm aware of, but I will be in Western Pennsylvania on March 8th for the Pennsylvania V-Mug, and I will be talking... I have a session on virtual volumes. I'll also be working the booth there. So if you're in the area on March 8th, come by and let's chat some VVols. It's funny, today I actually did a VMUG webcast on virtual volumes. Have you ever done a VMUG webcast before?
I did one. It was like my first week, and I think it was focused on South America. No one told me. So my limited Spanish-speaking abilities came in handy.
Nice.
But it's really kind of, I think it defeats the purpose, because what I like about VMUG is sitting down with people, having real conversations with real people, and you overhear someone mention, hey, I've got this log issue. And you're like, oh, you should talk, you know, let's talk about Log Insight or go down some random path. And
yeah,
you just miss that in like this random chat room where you're like, hi, my name's John. Do you have any questions about vSAN? It's kind of lame. But the presentation I did was actually worse. So you always hear me complain about fake live. And I'll say, you know, fake live sucks. It's awful. So fake live is where you the night before an event, you do a run through and it's awkward. And when you do a live event, you know, you just go with it. You don't overthink things. Yep. You don't, you know, as opposed to doing recorded. Well, the worst event is Simulive. So this is where a large portion of the event is pre-recorded, which gives you lots of time to overthink, and you sit there on the recording while someone keeps being like, no, let's retake that. And you go through like the 12th retake and you're kind of going nutty. And then when you actually comes the day of the, you know, rather than it just be on a website and someone watch it, you pretend it's a live event, it plays, and then you like you have like a live Q&A at the end. It's very bizarre.
Wow.
So you have like hand recording playing and you have to listen to yourself, which I hate listening to myself.
Same.
Yep. But yeah, you have to you basically have to sit there and listen to yourself and answer questions during your presentation. And then someone like cuts in and they have like a fake cue and handoff and be like, and now let's take live questions with John. And you're like, oh, what? Wake back up. So,
well, my takeaway from the VMUG webcast is if you're going to be presenting live as I did today, make sure you bring some of your friends so they can field the questions as you're presenting. I co-presented today with Dinesh Singh from HDS. And we did a great session on virtual volumes, but, you know, a lot of really good questions were coming in, you know, around how to use protocol endpoints and what are some of the maximums and what are some of the limitations. And so while Dinesh was presenting the HDS VASA provider, I started fielding some of these questions. But, you know, then all of a sudden he would turn to me and say, Pete, why don't you share your point on this? And I'd be like, I was just answering a question. What? Where are we?
Yeah, you're like you're typing and you're going back. Yeah, that's kind of you really want a separate team answering questions. And that's
absolutely.
Like when I did the blogger preview for 6.2, we did an early access for a select group of some of our favorite V experts. I mean, we love all the experts, but
sure.
Some more equal. and when we were doing that, though, it was great, though, because I'm doing presentation at the same time. There's Q&A and things going on. And I've got, you know, Duncan and Rawlingson and all these
yep.
and masters of vSAN, you know, in the OCTO office, you know, answering questions. So
yeah,
it helps quite a bit.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So tell me, John, where can people stalk you on Twitter?
My Twitter handle is lost_signal. You're not friending me on Facebook, Pete. We're not that close. So no Snapchats. No Snapchats.
No Snapchats. You don't Snapchat? Well, apparently you won't find John and I talking on Facebook, but I can be found on Twitter at @thepedroarrow. And you can read my blog at pedroarrow.com. All right. Well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. Subscribe to us on SoundCloud or iTunes by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can also catch this and all future episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. Next week, we're going to have Rawlinson Rivera in to talk some V-Vols. And so until next week, bye for now. All right, John, that's your cue to dance, man. Get out of your cubicle and start dancing.
Yeah, no, I'm shadow boxing right now. I'm jamming out here. So we gotta find a foosball table next time we're together.
Oh, absolutely. A foosball table and a few beers, I think.
Yeah, I've heard you've got some tricks to teach me from others, so.
Yeah, we'll see.
Good times.